Blog Talk Radio.
Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern. Stop and think about what I have to say. Hear me out, Lord, don't turn and walk away. What I have seems kind of bold. Well, it's a question that should run deep down in your soul. What would happen if people were sitting in churches throughout the world for centuries? What would happen with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them? What would happen then?
Tell me what would happen.
It's a message of concern. What would it do to the mind of the world today? What would this do to their mind? What would this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern. What would happen to the world's children put under the fear of a particular race? Presented pitiable and unclean, the savior of all men.
What would happen?
It's a message of concern. What would this do to the mind of the world's children? What would this do to their mind? What would this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern. Holy Quran, Surah 3, verse 64 says, say, O people of the book, come to common terms as between us and you, that we worship none but God, that we associate no partner with him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than God. If then they turn back, say ye bear witness that we at least are Muslims, bowing to God's will. Wait a minute before you criticize. The question is long overdue. I've come to realize this important message lends words to the wise. Take a look at the big picture and open your eyes. What would this do to the mind of the world's children? What would this do to their mind? What would this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern. Civilized nations should want that their religion be also civilized. False worship is the worst form of oppression. We are no God. We are only men, mortal from the mortal. He, God, created. This is the message of concern.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School. I have recited to you the Al-Fatiha in the Arabic. Now I would like to recite to you the Al-Fatiha in English. A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In Allah's name, merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us straightway the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. I mean, Allah speaks the truth. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the radio audience. And I want to let you know at this particular time, if you have any questions or comments, or you want to contribute toward any question or any comments, or if you have yourself, you know, want to do a presentation or present something to us, share your knowledge with us, we welcome it. Just push one on your phone receiver and you'll be brought into the queue when your mic is open. I would like to recognize the message of concern today. I'm sorry. I'm your host today, Sister Daya Hanan Shabazz - Akbar. And I'm out of Decatur, Georgia. And today is the Sister's Day, which we call the Sister's Day, to expound on the children's needs and the importance of our children being told the truth and taught by those who love them, who are concerned about them, and who are willing to teach them the truth and correct if there's been any mistakes made toward the untruths that have been taught to them or some things that might have been taught to them that were not okay, because who can tell them their history or teach them their history any better than we can ourselves? And we focus on the psychological effect of the image that portrays divine statues of false worship and that portrays divine in the psychological effect from that image that it has on the minds of the world's children. Psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. This is the message of concern day also. It's just that today, which is Tuesday, May the 24th, 2022, and Sundays, the sisters have this focus, this topic, and the other days, except for Fridays, the brothers have the message of concern. And as you know, the message of concern covers the serious message of concern, which focuses on the removal of all images, including racial images, from worship that portray divine. That could mean statues, it could mean crosses, or any other symbols that portray divine. So even though it's our day, Sister's Day, we do like to also consider and speak a little bit on the what we call the graven image, which is a part of the message of concern, the graven image. And we read that about graven images in the chapters from the Holy Bible, King James Version, and the Holy Quran as well. and it's coming from a book titled What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health by Brother Henry S. Muhammad. And it's in the, this is a book that is very, very, very useful and knowledgeable for our children as well as some adults. And the stories that are in here, that the chapters cover, which it does have 26 chapters and 126 pages. In every one of these chapters, you'll see a picture of, as a courtesy, by the Library of Congress, photo courtesy from the Library of Congress in each one of these 26 chapters. I would like to read this particular chapter to start off after I tell you or mention to you about the two chapters in the back of the book from the Holy Quran King James Version. The first chapter is Exodus. The second chapter is Deuteronomy. Now, I mentioned those first because I would like you to pay attention to, if you don't mind, the two chapters and the wording. Starting with the first one, Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. And it reads, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8, it reads, Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Now, you see the close proximity of the two chapters that have the same wording, which should indicate to us that some truth in these chapters of the Bible. Okay? It's emphasizing the wording of the graven image in both chapters, and they say the same words twice. So that alone, I don't know that I've known, haven't read any other part of the Bible that has two chapters that have the same wording, emphasizing the same and focusing on the same subject, the graven image. Okay? Okay, think about that. And please, now we'll go to the Holy Quran, and we will read to you chapter 4, or surah 4, An-Nisa, the women. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. O mankind, the apostle has come to you in truth from Allah. Believe in him, it is best for you. But if you reject faith, to Allah belong all things in the heavens and on earth, and Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. O people of the book, commit no excesses in your religion, nor say of Allah anything but the truth. Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than an apostle of Allah, and his word, which he bestowed on Mary, and a spirit proceeding from him. So believe in Allah and his apostles. Say not Trinity deceased. It will be better for you, for Allah is one Allah. Glory be to him. Far exalted is he above having a son. To him belong all things in the heavens and on earth, and enough is Allah as a disposer of affairs. Christ does not disdain to serve and worship Allah, nor do the angels, those nearest to Allah. Those who disdain his worship and are arrogant, he will gather them all together unto himself to answer. But to those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, he will give their due rewards and more out of his bounty. But those who are disdainful and arrogant, he will punish with a grievous chastisement, nor will they find besides Allah any to protect or help them. Sure, Allah speaks the truth. and one other little short surah called Al-Ikhlas. And this is surah, or chapter 112. It reads, it's the purity of worship. Al-Ikhlas, the purity of worship. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Say he is Allah, the one and only. Allah, the external absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten. And there is none like unto him. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Okay, that's from the Quran. Now, I will also start off with a chapter in here about the children that I would like to read to you and explain. It's short. I'll always read the short chapters to you from the book, but it is pertaining to the children. And this particular one is chapter 10, False Concepts of Psychological Pathogens. And we have a picture from Library of Congress as a courtesy, photo courtesy of the Library of Congress, from the Library of Congress. And it's a little male of color standing at the foot of a crib or a child's bed. And he's wearing a hospital gown, looks like. And it reads, a pathogen is a microscopic virus, germ, or bacterium that has the ability to cause biological disease. A psychological pathogen is a very hard to detect, subtle concept or teaching that has the ability to cause serious mental disease. The basic path that words or concepts follow on their journey to become human behavior is very easy to understand. First, words develop into thoughts, and then thoughts develop into behavior. Let's rephrase that. Words are the food for your thoughts, and your thoughts are the fuel for your actions. Understanding this basic fundamental formula for human development is mandatory if you want to protect your mind and the minds of your children from sickness. Let me put it to you this way. You are what you eat. You are what you eat physically, and you are what you eat mentally. The food you eat physically becomes a part of your physical body, and the words you feed your mind becomes a part of your thinking. If you feed your physical body diseased physical food, you can expect to become physically sick. If you feed your mind diseased words or concepts, you can expect that your mind will become mentally ill. It's as simple as that. The reverse, feed yourself healthy foods. When you feed your physical body healthy physical foods, your physical body soon becomes healthy and strong. It also stands to reason that when you feed your mind healthy concepts, your mind will soon become mentally stable and mentally strong. I don't care if your skin is as black as ink or as white as paper. If you feed your mind healthy concepts, your thinking and your life will grow to become well-balanced and strong. The formula also works in reverse. I don't care if your skin is as black as ink or as white as paper. If you feed your mind abnormal pagan concepts and beliefs, your thinking will become unbalanced and weak. The above statement explaining how this simple yet complex psychological formula works in the thinking of human beings is also thoroughly explained in the scriptural language of the Holy Quran and the Holy Bible. The Bible states of Genesis that man, the human being, should not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the tree of Sukkun. Okay, Bible Genesis 2nd chapter 16th and 17th verses reads as follows. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The knowledge of good, which is the universally pure, clean message that God revealed to his prophets, should never be mixed with the psychologically destructive pagan concepts practiced by ancient pagan societies. When the two teachings are mixed together into one teaching and then fed to the members of society as religious truth, the minds of the people within that society become mentally unbalanced and abnormal. Soon the normal humane sensitivities and thinking within the people begin to wither and die, while abnormal deformed inhuman or inhumane sensitivities and thinking begins to take root and flourish. Just remember that the healthiest of all human thoughts is to believe that there is only one almighty and unseen creator who is possibly, but who is responsible for the creation of all things in the heavens and the earth. And no one or no thing has the power to supersede or overrule the supreme authority and complete power of God. In a society that builds its institutions on the principles of the oneness of God and the oneness of God's creation has the potential to lead the world in excellence. Shouldn't that be our goal? Shouldn't we all be striving to live in a society that reflects the excellent teachings that our prophets taught us? Okay. And that's the end of that one. Does anyone have anything to say, contribute, negative or positive, about that particular chapter and its wordings, you know, agreements, or share more knowledge with us in reference to that particular chapter? If not, then I will go on to say the latest about the COVID. I'm sure you've heard about that. In reference to the children, they have given and started to give the children 5 years of age, 5 years of age up until, 11, which are considered children, okay, that injection. They've started giving that injection. Some children have died. Some adults have also died. Over 2,000 or more since the second outbreak of the virus. Okay. So, and this is by Pfizer. They got the okay to go on and give that particular injection. Wow. I disagree. I disagree with giving children shots, period. I don't know the reason why they're doing it, but Allah knows. And we know that Allah is in control, in charge at all times. And we are not afraid. We're not going to get all spooked up about these injections. You know, those who get it for whatever their reason may be. I have nothing against that. I don't argue that. You know, it's your choice. Just as well as it's your choice not to get it for whatever the reasons may be. Okay? But Allah is still in control. Allah is still in control. And I think that it's trying to scare us to make you take these shots as a source of elimination for people of color. Now you say, well, okay, other people take the shots too. Okay, so be it. You know, the same. I feel the same. You know, like to say you have to take the bitter with the sweet. Need some, you know, grandma used to, you do things wrong and there's about three other children in the house. Even if you didn't do it, you know, you still got a whipping, because the one who did it automatically got a whipping, but along with all the others who didn't do it. So the ones who didn't do it got punished right along with the one who did it. So it's the same thing with this shot, you know, that they're doing, you know, and with the people of color who they say they're going to try and eliminate, because the population is too, it has exceeded its limit. Certain person has made that judgment as if they're in control of the population, you know, of the world, which we know they are not. But, you know, everybody's opinion must be respected, as I always say, whether we agree with it or not. But we know that people take things in their own hands, especially certain ones who feel they have that power. And if we let them spook us up, this feels that they have that power to control the population, then that's on us. That's on us. We have to take the bitter with the sweet, you know. So, and that's the way it is. That's the way it is, to be or not to be, you know. So, but they say this particular strain is stronger than the other ones were. So we got to go right back with our social distances and the mask and the gloves and the sanitizing, you know. And we don't know how long this one is going to be, but it has a lot of people have passed on this particular under this particular virus already. So now people are saying we need to find out something or find something to work with or try to figure out what we can do to control it. And I say, oh, ye people of little faith, that God is in control. Allah is in control. And I want to back up a little bit and say, I bear witness that there's only one creator, one God, Allah, the creator of all that's in of all the worlds, you know, creator of all the worlds, and the creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen, you know, controls and the creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between. Now, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we just have to learn to face the facts. You know, what more is it going to take to show you that there is a creator greater than you and I, greater than all these doctors and all out here. Now, we're going to use the mind that Allah has blessed us with, you know, is common sense, like they say. You can figure things out. You can think with common sense. You're intelligent, you know, so use your mind. Do your research, and you don't have to give it all of your attention, because that's what it's meant to be done. The shaitan wants to step in and let it take over control of your mind, body, and soul to just focus on that alone, while they have other tricks in the bag that you cannot see and have not seen, you know. So just put all your eggs in one basket. So our parents, grandparents used to tell us, put all your eggs in one basket. Go and think. Think for yourself. Be independent thinkers. You know, be independent thinkers. And please, try and help save the children as well. You know, please, please. Okay, and we have to also think of the education of the children. School will be out soon, we know. But the virus still lingers on, and we still have to be responsible, and we are responsible for telling the truth, telling the children the truth, teaching the children the truth. It's on us. It's incumbent on us to teach them the truth. It's an obligation that we have. Teach them the truth, even if it's in one big room that'll hold, 10 or 20 children at a time only, or maybe less. Teach them the truth in those small quarters. Teach them. Tell them the true stories of their history. You know, what was and what is. And we trust in Allah that we'll be knowledgeable to show them and to explain to them what will be according to God's will and according to Allah's will and the teachings of our daily guide, which is the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah. And we thank Allah for Imam Elijah Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him, as well as Imam W.D. Muhammad, as well as the other people who came. Noble Drew Ali, you know, Jomo Kenyatta, and Harriet Tubman, Malcolm X, and a lot others who we don't hear about every day and don't even try to read or research about them. And the young people who got these phones, they have a part-time job and spend most of their money on iPhones, expensive phones, you know. But they won't look, they won't utilize them just for things that are irrelevant most of the time. Not the relevant things a lot of times, but things that are irrelevant. So we pray that we can teach them to check their iPhones and check up history, their history, you know, and read about it. They have a new museum now, an Islamic museum. Muslim Museum. It's new. It's on the apps, you know, that you can check to find out about them. Very sharing really a lot of knowledge of the African Americans or the dark brown and in between the tan skinned, you know, complexion people and our contributions to the society as a whole, then and now, which our children very seldom hear about. In the 1 month, supposedly shortest month of the year that we have, February, to teach them Black History Month, that's a joke. You know, it's nothing but a joke. It's just something to be said. Thing. We used to have a college instructor, Professor Humphrey, I'll never forget it, Tennessee State University, used to, every February, he would come, and he was very, very fair complexion, you know, complected brother with this wavy, curly hair and all this sort of thing, and he'd come up, be the main one to present Black History Month as what we used to call it, when we all have to go to the auditorium, you know, to hear this nonsense. And he would get everybody all geared up and boosted up and all rared up and ready to go and all hyper about Black history and slavery and the things that have been done to us it's time for us to do something about it and all this sort of thing. And you don't say anything else about Black history until next February. And next year when Black History comes up. And you don't read anything about what he has done either. And I think Mr. Humphrey, Professor Humphrey, is still there, Tennessee State University, I'm not for sure. But I remember we used to tell him, well, where are you all here? Talking about the history, the Black history, and you don't have any displays of anything until every February. He'll laugh with us. And he said, well, it's y'all's turn. Yeah, y'all's turn. Y'all the young people, y'all in school and in the college, here to learn. Y'all get with it. You know, And he was chop chop. He would be so funny. He would be, and we would just laugh at him. We would just laugh at him. We'd laugh together, you know. But he knew. He got the message. He definitely got the message. Okay. And Sister Claire Muhammad School, 2 days ago, Friday, no, Saturday, this past Saturday, had a beautiful, beautiful graduation for the seniors there. And I mean, they were so, you're talking about intelligentsia. They were so intelligent. Those, they had about, I think, eight or nine of the seniors that graduated, and quite naturally offered all kind of money and scholarships and all this sort of thing. Oh, wow. It really made my heart feel real good to see them there, you know, brothers and sisters. But you know, sisters outweigh the brothers. outweigh the brothers, but that's okay. Our brothers are coming. Our brothers really going to have to step up a pace. Young brothers and older brothers, but the young brothers are stepping up more than one, than a pace or two. They are on the ball, and they're, what was the saying we had, swift moving, quick moving, just something right on down to modern times. I can't remember, can't get it together. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't, I cannot. But anyway, it's move quick, fast stepping, quick moving right on down to modern times, you know. And they think fast, these young people, they think fast. They walk fast. I mean, everything is so, they move swiftly. You know, everything is so fast. They're so fast and quick thinking, you know, and quick moving. And they're polite, too. Young brothers, you know, they see me getting out of the car, you know, with canes sometimes and going into the restaurant next to the Atlanta Masjid, and they'll run right up. Come on, Sister Daya. Come on, Sister Daya. I got you. And I laugh at them. Because they remind me of the FOI. They remind me of the FOI days when the brothers used to escort the sisters. Yeah, they were really good, but now they just sit in the car while you get out with a cane and all. They're sitting in the car up on the driver's seat texting or playing games with their cell phone while you're struggling on the other side of the car trying to get out and get into the restaurant or wherever you're going. But anyway, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But everything will be okay because we just pray for them. Excuse me. I'm not getting enough sleep nowadays, but we just pray for them and inshallah, they'll come around. They'll be all right. And when you hear that song about Gladys Knight, Guilty, that's me. You know, guilty, you know, of that song, seeing how they dehumanize our men, you know, while they're struggling to survive, you know, amongst people who just don't even want to lend them a hand, you know, and they've come up through so much, they have to regain trust, they have to regain their dignity, their manhood, you know, and their worth, and a lot of them, it's a piece of work. For the woman nowadays who cares, the wife who cares about a man and about her, you know, about her husband, because some of them are just, they're hard. They can be hard on themselves as well as you, even though you're trying to help them. And we realize that. We try to be patient. We pray for patience, prayer, and perseverance. And some things hurt us when they're being said to us by them, but then we have to shake it off. And keep on getting up and just sit back and just think, well, it's okay. They've come a long ways. They got a long ways to go. Some are working on it, some are not. But you pray that all of them work on it. And then some of them are doing very, very well. We just have to think positive and feed positive in them, you know. Meanwhile, we have to pray to Allah for strength, patience, prayer, and perseverance, and blessings to be able to cope. And takes a strong one, strong woman, too. But okay, we have to teach some of them over again and some of our matured brothers and sisters have to be taught again or held lectures for. Maybe not taught, because you know how brothers and sisters want to be saying, how are you going to teach me? You're not older than I am. You're young, the same age. How are you going to teach me? They resent that word when you say trying to teach them something. You know, we want to share with them. We want to share with them. You know, like you want for your brothers and your sisters what you want for yourself. You love for your brother and your sister what you love for yourself. Okay, so we have to deal with that. Have to deal with that. I was trying to find this page from the youth that I had gotten. Okay, bear with me, please. And meanwhile, if anybody has anything to say or want to contribute anything, then please push one on your phone receiver and come into the cube. Oh, come on now. Where's my page? I know I didn't take it out. Well, where did I take it out? And now I can't find it. It was in the page. My husband tells me all the time about getting pages from the Muslim Journal and not putting the paper back together. And now this is a good lesson for me. I had something really, really.
That is my fault. 12 right here.
Okay, I see somebody. Sister Juan will fill in from here. Oh, and I got it. Okay, wait a minute. Let me call Sister Juan in. Guest first. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, I'm going to try and get some more. I'm asking around. We're having so many janazas to go to here. I tell you, trying to organize janaza in 3 days' time and get the food for the family that's coming from out of state and traveling, you know, and then cleaning up and all. It's, you know, it's really about this, about 3 in 1 week. And we had to, it was one of the brothers, Brother Ines Ferdon, coming from really Cincinnati, Ohio. But he worked at the prison in Savannah. He moved to Savannah. And this is where his family is. And he has traveled all over. I remember him in Tennessee when he went to Vanderbilt University, when he and his wife at the time, Sister Linda Ferdon, she was sewing African outfits and all. And he was in college and going to school to Vanderbilt, like I mentioned. And we all went to the same mass year down there. And we were at a different location than we're at now in Nashville, a different masjid area. Then he moved from there to Savannah, back to Savannah, more schooling there, and then to Morehouse College here in Atlanta, and then back to Savannah and started working at the prison. He's a, mental health and counseling, drug and alcohol counseling. He was into a lot of things. He was very good in politics here in Atlanta when he moved from Savannah here to Atlanta, you know, and Sister Linda. And he was helping me the first when he got here with the reentry program that I had, housing for the ex-offenders. And he was good at that. He's good at papers and keeping up with records and everything and doing presentations and stuff like that. And I introduced him to the people of the neighborhood over there at El Mut Menun, which dealt with the politics and the community efforts, you know, in education. And he also... what else was that? Oh, yeah, the Health and Wellness Committee that I was the convener of when he came also in between the Health and Wellness Committee and between the reentry program, you know, that I had, he was helping me help him with both of them. Yeah, help me with both of them. And then finally, since I had done the Health and Wellness Committee since 2008, around the same time I had gotten the reentry program around 2008, I had not had a break as far as anybody serious enough to help me. Once they saw the money was not, the cash flow was not as as thrifty as they thought, a lot of their minds changed, and they really didn't want, they couldn't get the stipend amount that they thought they should have been able to get, and a lot of their minds changed, and they went hither, thither. So he assisted me there. So he returned to Allah this past Saturday. Yes, he had chest pains. He had eaten. He said made his salat with his family, reading the Quran, and then he had chest pains afterwards. They took him to the hospital. That was on Friday night. Saturday morning, he returned to Allah. They say he had a massive heart attack. He returned to Allah. He was 68 years old. Short brother Ines, I mean, he was all the way live, all the time, you know, a bright smile, beautiful personality. He was just, yeah, he was all of that. Brother Ines was a good brother. Children and all, you know, I knew two of them that were born in Nashville, Tennessee. And he used to also sell those metro phones that you would get free, and he and his son had married and moved out in the area of Georgia where they could have a farm, and they raised chickens, and they sold the eggs from the chickens, and they had goats they would sell, you know, to the community. They were out in a large area of Muslim community. I heard it. I never went, that was far out. But anyway, he did all that. And his face will be missed. His cheerfulness will be missed. But his works, he will never be forgotten. In Ali, or in Ali, Rajiun, from Allah came back to Allah, we will return. Pray Allah make it easy on his family, for his family. I mean. Okay, I see two hands. All praises due to Allah. The first hand was Sister Quran, and I will, that's her number. That's why I'm calling her name, and she's a regular, so that's why I call her name. Don't usually call her name. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Quran.
Wa alaikum assalam. But you can go ahead and let the other person, you can go ahead. Yeah, you can let them go first. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, that's what you like. Because your hand was there first, but I will go on. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah.
Let me go to this person. Okay. Area code 478, last four digits 7880. State your name and where you're calling, please.
Uh-huh. Haji Lala.
Haji Lala, you have different numbers.
Yes, this is my second line.
Oh, your second line.
I have two.
Okay.
I have two lines, but.
Okay, right.
Look,
welcome.
I just can't. You talk. Did you say our niece?
Our niece, yes, brother, our niece.
He passed away?
You didn't know? Oh, my God.
No.
Yes. I'm sorry. I guess I should have called. But it was sent to all of the ones whose name was in the book for text messages. And he text messaged, you know, everybody. Oh, and I'll have to say I apologize. I should have been on the phone calling everybody myself. But I just took it for granted that there was somebody else doing it. So I was having to help him to prepare for the repast. you know, the cooking and everything, and calling Nashville, Tennessee, where people knew him, and other places. I'm sorry. I apologize. Please accept my apology.
Okay. So, and I
but they buried him. They took him to.
Said to me, who?
I can't hear you.
Who was his wife?
Oh,
are we talking about
Sister Linda's phone? Yeah, we're talking about the same onions. We'll talk about that later. Sister Linda Verdon.
Lord have mercy. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my goodness. Okay, that's all I wanted to ask. But then I was on the line earlier today, and they said Sister Mahasa said something. Anybody know anything about that? You Quran or Daya?
You know that? I don't know. No, I was on Lifeline this morning because I was up late.
I was on Lifeline this morning, but I didn't hear Sister Mahasa say anything.
Oh, because I'm listening to them saying that she made a mistake and she didn't say exactly what she said. But like I said, I was trying to decide myself.
Your phone's breaking.
Okay.
Could you hear Sister Lala? What happened was that the brother, if you're talking about during the time they was expressing themselves.
Right.
Yeah, okay. What happened was that the brother, he got on there and he was saying that about the protocol. And that's what he was talking about, you know, like the protocols that you're only supposed to be on, talk about like with 5 minutes, something like that. And then they were saying that how she was going over the protocol, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. That's what they were talking about, you know. Okay. But the main thing, like the sister was saying, and I agree with her, that basically because he shouldn't have called out her name. That was something that he shouldn't have. That's what I felt like, that she shouldn't have. He didn't have to call her name out. You know, mm-hmm. I thought about that today, and I said to myself, that could have been somebody's grandmother. That's somebody's wife. You know, I said, you don't do that. And the way he did it, you know. And then I thought about it. I said, well, Sue, he can handle his own business. He know how to handle his business. He don't need no backup like that, you know. Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
But that's what it was. I felt like it was disrespectful. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, sisters. Okay, my sisters.
Okay, let's do Blog Talk Radio Show stuff.
That's a lowdown.
Alhamdulillah.
This is Lala.
That's okay.
Okay, Sister Lala, Haja, you have anything new for us, reference to the children or any current events or any inspirational speaking about Elder Sloan?
Right. I can give, but my phone is getting very low, but I can do one about, it'll be about maybe a minute or two, because it's a long one.
It'll be a minute or two? Why don't you charge your phone up and come back on then? Yeah, charge your phone up and come back on, and you can recite that.
Listen,
okay. This
is my problem. We got this storm over here.
Oh, do you?
When I said I'll just talk until the phone go off.
Oh, okay. It's getting dark around here too. Okay,
yeah,
okay, so, Haja. Go ahead then. That's fine.
Y'all have a storm.
But it's getting dark here. It's getting dark here now. Yeah, and it's, you know, the dark clouds overhead.
Right.
Just windy, too. It's windy.
See, that's what we had got a lot of wind, and next thing I know, the lights went off.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, we pray about it. We'll be okay.
I can just say a little bit of it. So I'm going to text this when I get my thingamajig to you all. Breaking news.
Okay.
Puma, be wary. Tighten up your belt as around the corner. You will find a peace astonishing stop, keep on reading. As-salamu alaykum. Did any one of us imagine how the sun is going to rise from the west, as said by our prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, over 1,400 years ago? But now scientists found how it happened. Scientists were making researches on Mars for a long time. Mars, which rotates in the same direction of the Earth, has now started to rotate in the opposite direction. Now, sun from the west on Mars is at prograde. And this happened to all planets. Amazingly, Earth is next. Allah says when it rises from the west, the doors of forgiveness will be closed. No more dua for repentance. Accepted. It's too far for this to happen. It's a long one, but I'm going to read another one. That's a long one. I'll just text it to you all, and y'all can go from there.
Where'd you find this information?
A sister sent it to me. Yeah.
Okay. So she didn't tell you where she got that reference. She didn't give you any reference to where she got it from?
Ma'am. Okay. No, ma'am. But it's like a really, really, really long picture, you know, with the
wow. Okay, yeah. Well, if your phone wasn't breaking, so it would be okay to even listen to it, you know, because that sounds interesting. I mean, it is interesting. I don't know, but it is. That's interesting right there.
Right. Yeah, I didn't look to the bottom, but I know it's probably a whole lot. I just kept scrolling up, and I thought, oh, my goodness. And I'm just scrolling and scrolling. So, okay, it's a long one. Hmm. But anyway, you're gonna
give us a little fork full, and we need a big spoonful.
Yeah.
That sounds good. That sounds good with saying, yeah.
I said I'm going to text it to you all. I'm going to do another short one here. Okay, I'm looking at this one here. This one is a dua for all our beautiful people. A beautiful dua. May Allah protect you throughout your life and keep you a place in paradise. May Allah give you the spirit of Hawa, purity of Myra, the faith of Asiya, the beauty of Sarah, love of Khadijah, perfection and knowledge of Aisha, blessings of being among them in paradise. Allahumma, Ameen. Transfer this to all women you love. Ameen. I'll be sending this one to y'all too as well. Alhamdulillah. Is Sharif on?
Sharifa is, no, she's not. I saw a number on here from Sister Sharifa's, but it's gone now.
Okay, well, I'll send it to you too, Sister, because it is beautiful.
Okay.
All the sisters,
alhamdulillah. Yeah, you always have things that uplift us and you know, bring us out of that slump. Sometimes we get in slumps too.
Yeah.
But okay. How's the garden growing and everything?
Take it one day at a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I heard the corn is going pretty good.
You heard the what?
What'd you say? The corn is growing pretty good there.
It is. And you know, we're going to get, with all this rain here, we have 2 days rain. It's stopping. And it's probably. It hasn't been up.
Yeah, your phone is.
Mud.
You don't like to. Right, your phone's really messing up, Haja. Yeah, it's really cracking up now. That weather down there,
Find
your spot. Yeah, find your spot in the house that seems to be clear. If you have to call me back later, you know, and I'll
or just call back or text me. Well, you don't need to text me. You need to call me. Well, even when it's off, let me know if you got a clear area there where you can be able to call out good, you know, without without it breaking up, because you want to be able to be in touch. You have these floods and storms and all this stuff. You have to be careful. Okay, then.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on, and thank you for your for sharing.
You're welcome, love.
All right. Assalamualaikum.
Sure, should I stay in?
Charge your phone. Huh?
Okay. Yeah, it hasn't went off yet, but I can't charge it. But I'm saying, should I stay in, stay on, or go off?
Yeah, sure. Sure, you stay in. And you can, contribute when you want to, you know, to the conversations or what have you. As long as you, you know, just we can hear you. We'll be able to hear you some. We'll make out.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, now we can let Quran say what she's going to say.
Go ahead. Yeah, let Sister Quran. So we can let Sister Quran. Yeah, because she said let you go ahead. She realized that voice, that the telephone number was yours. Okay, Sister Quran.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, okay. You can hear me. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Yes.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What I want to elaborate on is two things, but one thing I want to say is when you were speaking of, the wisdom and the youth and the children, and I was saying to myself, I said, wow, I said, Allah is so merciful. I said, here at our age, we still have a purpose. You know, sometimes, you know, when we get old, you know, like at least when I was growing up, you know, you see older people and I wasn't aware of their wisdom. And so our purpose is to give these children wisdom, you know, and that is what is so beautiful. You know, that's what I was thinking of, that we still have a job to do, you know, in giving them wisdom and making sure that they go in the right direction. And then one day I was thinking, and I'll say, how smart a child is, how smart they are, they still, they don't have the wisdom that we have. They still need some of the things that we need to tell them, you know, about what's going on in the world. And also I was reading the Holy Quran, and I like this where it said, oh, you who believe, caution. And enter, and take your precaution, and either go forth in parties, or go forth all together. And then I was trying to understand, you know, what they were saying. You know, they said take your precaution. Mm-hmm. So I understand what they're saying. When you take precaution, and then when you go forward in parties, just make sure that you go together, that you stay together. When you go in parties, don't go, you know, separating and turn against each other while you out there, you know, basically like fighting. And because it said no fight should be undertaken without due preparation and precaution. And that's what I keep, that's what I keep saying. That's the right there in the Holy Quran where these brothers be out there. I'm just saying, just because I believe our team could have a chance if they could survive. Be out there talking about their gangsters and all this like that, but they go in areas and they don't take precaution and they don't be prepared and they know who the enemy are and they know when they come, they should always prepare themselves and find out, well, what I'm going to do if this police come behind me or something like that. But they got to remember that some of those police, just because they got that uniform on and have that image, that you can't protect yourself. They're not holding up the law if they shoot you down and you ain't got no, and you're not armed, or they shoot you down and you're running. You know, they're not supposed to shoot you. That's one thing they said. A coward will shoot you in the back. You're not supposed to shoot nobody in the back. If you're running, I don't know. Because, see, when you run and they get away, then they could come back and get stronger and come back to get you. I love that movie. I love that movie about Shaka Zulu when his mother said that he would never leave. an enemy behind.
Yeah, I like that movie, Shaka Zulu, myself. I saw it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, that was. I liked that movie, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So, but, and then it says right here, it said, you must not terror like the doubters. The doubters detached himself in thoughts and action from the community. And then it was blatant. Then it said, if the general body had a reverse, he blessed Allah with Allah that he was not among them instead of being ashamed of himself for desertion. Not rejoice from the common cause, but only regret from himself that he was not here to share the glory and the gain. And so I try to see what that means like that. You know, everybody have their little different meanings. So that when they go and detach themselves from the community, and then when the community to get strong and go out there and win this battle, commitment, whatever they're supposed to do, and then only regret that you have is that because you wasn't among them to share that glory, because you detached yourself from the community. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I hear you.
And that means that unity is power, and we should always be together. Alhamdulillah. That's what it is. And then I'm gonna tell you, I was watching this on YouTube. You know, just sometimes I like to watch to see what they be putting out. But anyway, they had on YouTube about Baton Rouge. They said Baton Rouge is one of the worst places that you should stop and live in and stop at.
Oh, it is not.
But look. They were talking about the guy was talking about when he gets to a gas station, somebody always coming there, you know, want to beg him for money and all this and all that, you know. And then when you go to the community, you know, you'll see this and that. After that, and I said, he's saying all that, but he's not saying about why is this community in that condition. I said, and then he's not always telling the truth too. I said, he's not saying that. He's not saying that how people, because I was reading about, because you got to keep saying about how, you know, we got others in the community that don't live there, and they robbing the community. Mm-hmm. So I was reading about your commitment, what business commitment is to the community. And their commitment is that one thing they're supposed to put back in the community. They said, why business put back into community? For social reasons. That's the main thing, and also that's one of the things for social, and then plus, and for to help build the community. So when they not see and see, and they have rights, the community have rights, they're supposed to put back into the community. They don't supposed to rob the community and take it somewhere else. And you can protest about that. See, even if they own that building there, they still do not supposed to do that. I said, because we are supporting that business. And so they're supposed to give back. And you could basically just run them out of that community and then you could take over their business, and they can get their property. They get their property, but they could never come there and open up a store right there. They would have to sell it. They have to sell it or do better. Alhamdulillah. So those are the rights. Mm-hmm. Those are the rights you have, but we have to exercise those rights.
Right.
That's one thing
that's right.
We have to do. And we do have, and I can't understand, I still can't understand. I look on the TV, and you know, that's one of the big time advertising that is, and help develop the psychological effects that puts on our children's minds, you know, like that. It tells them everything. And what it is on that TV, they always got I said, they always got one of our brothers acting like a homosexual. I said, but I don't see no Mexican. I don't see no Chinese, especially, and even during the advertisement. I haven't seen that one Mexican yet advertising, homosexual advertising, saying, you know, advertising. I haven't seen no Chinese and nothing like that. And very, very, very seldom I see a Caucasian that comes up there and do that. And mm-hmm. and those are things that it shouldn't be like that, alhamdulillah.
Right.
It shouldn't be like that. Right. Anyway, and then right now, it seems like to me, like, because I don't go nowhere too much, but by me watching the television and looking around, seems like that means that we are mm-hmm. only one, like I said before, like we're the only one that's doing crime. I see mm-hmm. they got the Mexicans over there, they got the Iranians over there, they got all these other people over here, they got the Caucasians, but we're the only one that's doing the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And that really put a psychological effect on our children when they see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see, mm-hmm. and then they see when that Caucasian guy killed all those people, those two people, and that put and nothing was done. So that put fear into our children. That mm-hmm. put fear mm-hmm. into them, because they feel like they have no protection. Because I didn't see nobody protest against anything. And then they see where that when here it is, they went to the state capitol. They went to the state capitol and ain't too many, and they was running from them instead of killing them. If that was African Americans coming up doing that, they would have everything. They would have machine guns and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just saying, so we just really have to be careful and train our children. And like Brother Muhammad said, we need to teach them ourselves. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, we do.
When I was growing up, they said the worst thing they did is when they forced immigration.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That was the worst thing they did. And if you thought about it, I just want to ask you one thing, Daya, because I knew I grew up. Did you grow up? I know after the only Black Muhammad they did. When you was a child, did you grow up and hear them say that Jesus was God? I never heard them say that. I know I heard them say the three Trinities and maybe the Son, you know, every now and then. But I never heard them say Jesus was God until 1975. When Imam Worthy Muhammad came, 1974. That was before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed, you know, and I was sitting in the church and I heard them say that. Did you grow up and hear them say that Jesus was God when you were a child? You did?
Yes. My family was diehard Baptist.
You know what?
Yes,
you know what? You know what I think? I think and believe because most of the people that's in the park area, they didn't hear it. Even my sister, and she's a bona fide Christian, she said she didn't hear it, and she didn't even hear that either.
Mm.
But for the people, the brothers out there, and this is a lesson. That's one thing I'm gonna write about that too, because they said they don't even know their history. See your neighborhood. See since they took over your neighborhood, all the business, and you know those African American business. Then that's a history mm-hmm. that our children should know. They don't know that one time that all this was our business. They don't know that. See, that's how they did slavery. Because I kept saying, well, how did they get these people so into slavery? And that's what. And then I thought about. I forgot they was babies. They only put what's up.
Yeah.
That's why they want your children. Your children gonna
mm-hmm.
only know what they put in their mind. And then if they don't let them read, you know, they ain't got no books in the school. If you read.
Right.
You could educate yourself, but they don't have to read because the computers that tell them everything, you know. So they are not reading, and that's how they got them. I said, "Oh, okay, that's how they got them. It was not reading. We was not reading. They was not reading. So that's how they got them, and that's what they're trying to do now. Because you got
mm-hmm.
to remember one thing: if they control the mind, you got the body.
Mm-hmm.
Be worried about the body." You could be a big old giant if I got you.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. That's what I would say. So we got a job as senior citizens, and we got the wisdom, and we know this. They don't know this. We know this. And even
mm-hmm.
we have to take
mm-hmm.
the hours in the show, tell them a history, let them know so they could know that one time these used to be your store. And then they're gonna see I'm gonna have things to voice your opinion. And then they're gonna say, well, what happened? What happened was that
They put crack in your neighbor. They put crack in the neighborhood. They crack. You tell them the truth, and this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep on being on and let them know that what they got, talking about that is not marijuana. I don't know what the hell that is, but that is not marijuana.
Come on.
It's not. I mean, because, look, how you getting marijuana to be all balled up?
So and the
you
know,
maybe
that's oregano.
I ain't never seen nothing like it. And then there was records, because, see, I goes out there, and I be working, and I be around people, and I pretend like, you know, that they be doing what they doing. I pretend like I don't, you know, I don't see it nothing like that, because I got to do my work. And so I was one guy, he was doing something, and I said, oh, he's smoking a cigar now. He ain't doing what he used to do. And then find out he was doing it, but it ain't had no smell. I said, what the hell is he smoking?
Come on.
I'm just telling you, we have to be careful with our children and what's going out there, because they don't know. They don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then let me tell you what happened too. And so I was in the neighborhood, and then this house, I said, well, don't they have homosexual thing? And they said, yeah. I said, well, they're going to have to move. I said, that's too close to me.
Uh-huh.
They're Caucasian. And I said, why they want to come out here and bring their trash over here? Why don't they go up in their neighborhood and be homosexual?
Right.
Why they want to come around here and bring that crap here? So I told them, I said, they're going to have to move. At first, I didn't want to call on them because they were starving the dog. I said, but now, that's what I'm going to call them, because they're starving them dogs. The dog like skin and bones.
Mm.
And one of them was my friend. To get out the gate and everything. And follow me around.
Really?
Yeah.
You must
follow
me
around.
You fed him.
No, I didn't
Did
feed him.
Him.
I just said, hi, how you doing? And he wagged his tail.
Mm. Well, he felt your kindness. Yeah, he felt your kindness.
But the main thing is we really need to help our children. And the only way we'll get our community back is that you don't have to patronize them. All you have to do is set up another store, and you get your people together, and you just give them, if you don't give them nothing else, you give them the basic needs. And then you could protest about them, and don't be scared to protest about them giving out drugs. How are you going to get your children off of drugs? If it's right next, if they could just walk down the street right next door and get it, and every other house is selling drugs, that don't make no sense.
That's true.
But this is what I was going to say. Because somebody said, well, we're going to get the brothers, we're going to make them stop selling drugs and all this. And one brother came up to me, you know, and he said, yeah, he said, I don't mind stop selling drugs, but he said that, how I'm going to feed my family? What you got to offer me? So I could be able to feed my family. And I thought about that. I said, wow. I said, he said something. He said something because, so that means that we have to have jobs for them. But I'm going to give jobs for them even because we don't even own the stores. And then a guy was talking about, we was riding through the community, the one that was talking so bad about the community. I said, the reason why the community, they're not telling all the truth. He should have said that these are stores in here, it's just not putting back in the community. That's why the community is getting run down.
That could be true, right.
And that's why, when my uncle and them owned these stores, there was nobody out there begging. What he used to do is he had these slips, like the senior citizen, the slip never stopped, though, because when they get their check, then they'll give him the money. You know, he'll give them free on food on credit. And then after that, they get their check, they'll pay it off. But he always had that list, but nobody was never hungry. And then if somebody come in and ask food, he said, why don't you go ahead on? He'll have them picking up paper around the store or either go up there and sweep the store or something like that. And then he'll give them, food or something like that.
And see, and that's where you're supposed to do your brother and your sister, you know, like that. You, they shouldn't be out there begging every time at the gas station to see somebody for a dollar or a dime and all that. They aren't supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you're finding a lot of these own places and tell them to move on, move on, move on. And that sounds so cruel, too, but they have to move from in front of the places so they can won't stop the people's. Because people are not going to come in there when they see a lot of people standing around, you know, guys standing around asking for money and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people will go on to the next place.
Well, the people in the neighborhood will because they know the people. They know them.
Uh-huh.
It's their cousins. So everybody kin to each other out there, you know. And so it's their cousins or, you know, they go back to fifth cousins. So it's that's so-and-so family, you know, so. That's why they very seldom steal from each other because they'll be stealing from their own cousin.
Oh.
And that's why you give it to them and so they won't have to steal. So that's what I do. I give them so they don't have to steal. So you don't have to steal from me. You can have that. That's what I tell them. I say, you can have anything on here you want, but let me know when you get it because I might want that and I'll replace it and give you something else.
Right. Well, that's good. You know how to talk to them, you know how to deal with them. It's good to be able to do that. Yeah. That's like teaching children. You have to first love and then and they'll be able to feel that, you know, and be able to communicate with them and they'll learn under you.
And that's false. And look, and that's false when they say that our people don't want to work. That is not true.
I'll be out there,
people all the time say, you need help? You need help? Don't tell me they want to work. They just don't want to work for that Caucasian man because he talks to them like a dog. That's the problem
That's true.
Our children, but they want to work.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah make our struggle easy for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean.
Alhamdulillah.
I mean.
I'm finished.
You finished? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Expect something in the mail from me soon.
Vice versa. I got something for you, too. So vice versa.
Alhamdulillah. You answered
okay.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, alhamdulillah. All right, then, we appreciate it. Now, you want to say a little something again now before I bring in your brother, your beloved brother here?
Okay, wait a minute. Let me see. I can find something.
If not, you can just hold on. You can listen.
Okay, I intend to do that too. But I wanted to say, I saw a movie not long ago. It wasn't a movie. It was a video that someone had sent me. And it was a store owner was in the store by himself, stole some items from the store. And so he, called the police. And so when the police got there, the police asked him if he wanted to press charges. So he said no. So the guy who was stealing had said, I just was trying to get something to feed my family. And he told the owner, he said, if you let me go, I'll pay another time. The thief had, the thief was Bilali. The store owner was was foreign, Indian or something like that. So he told him, he said, sure. He said, he didn't expect to see, he told him, I'll let you get away with this. He said, but don't come back to the store. So the guy, and then when he told him, when he went to his mailbox one day, I guess weeks later or something, it was on the YouTube, weeks later or something like that, there was a, in his mailbox, read, I'm the guy who stole a couple of items, food items for my family. told you that, you know, I would, you know, reimburse you when I get a job. He said, now I have a job. Thank a lot for that. Mm. He said, so here's money for the items that I took, a few dollars extra. And it was such a touching note. So it was on YouTube, too. If I find it, I'll send it to you. But I'm like, all they have to do is ask them. And so like Karan just said, just ask. You don't have to take nothing. But just ask, you know. Sometimes people will, you know, feel for you, you know, taking, just ask me, you know.
And that
works sometimes, you know. It works sometimes. Not all the time, but it works sometimes, you know.
It was touching.
It was touching because he was like he just told him, I'm only in his feelings so I can feed my children. They out in the car right now. And, you know, the police came, waved the police officer. Go ahead.
Be that way sometime. You know, it's a different feeling when somebody takes something from you, you know, instead of asking you for it. Instead of asking, you know, it's a big difference. It's the same thing. He might have needed that to feed his family, but maybe if he had just gone to the man and told him, listen, I don't have money, but my family is hungry because I'm unemployed. Could I just get something until, you know, a later date, and I'll bring you back the money or whatever, instead of getting caught stealing it, involving the police and all that kind of stuff, you know. Then maybe the man would have went on and done it, but you never know what's going on. Some people can be so cruel.
You know, even send the money back with a note, you know, I'm on my feet now and I have a job. And you just really start out that, opposed to going and taking something. Of course, people will feel for you if they say, you know, well, I have children out there and they're hungry, you know. You just let them have
it.
You're not losing nothing because you're trying to feed somebody. That's you, you know, that's blessings for you.
And that would have been good if he could have maybe explained that to his children too, because see, that's a good deed, you know. I guess he was thinking about nothing like that at that particular time. But that is a good way for children to learn how to do good deeds and to learn compassion, you know, and to learn to help others who actually need help, you know, like they were hungry, so no food, so he then, you know, and they would, and, yeah, teach them not to steal, you know, just ask or something like that. There's a lesson in that, too. I guess wasn't thinking about nothing, that he's wanting to feed his family.
That's
all.
And then I also thought, on a police show. I don't remember calling the police. The woman, with the woman that went in the store and she got a loaf of bread. So the store owner looking at her from the mirror. So when she comes to go past to get out the store, he stops. And so she's like, get off me. So he said, give me what you put up under your shirt. And so she pulled out the bread. He said, it's just bread. And so at the same time, he's holding up with one hand, and he's calling the police. So the police get there, another female who also was a mother, So then the store owner said he'd like to press charges. The woman, the officer paid him for the bread. He said, you know, please, let the woman go, you know. I already paid you, so, okay, not arrested. They don't let her walk.
Alhamdulillah.
That was a show of sympathy of compassion for the woman who was suffering, as well as the police officer, because, I mean, you know, she paid. She said, what it cost?
Right.
He said, that's all it costs? He said, here's the money. No, let the woman, we're going to let the woman walk because we're not going to arrest her for no bread right. that she didn't get out the store with.
Right.
Put on as well. You show decency for the police officer.
Alhamdulillah. I just want to say one thing that during our time, I'm going to let you let your brother talk. During one time, ain't nobody was hungry. If you was hungry, all you just go to your neighbors and tell them, did you have something to eat? And they'll feed you. You had no problem with being hungry. And there are people in the neighborhood that sometimes they'll cook a big pot of food just to feed the neighborhood. Alhamdulillah.
Wow, alhamdulillah. You better know it.
Well, they used to do it all the time. Yeah, they used to come by your house and they would know they used to come by my grandmother's house all the time. They used to say, Miss Buford, what you cooking today? Can I have something to eat? Just like they were waiting for her to cook. Yeah, my grandmother.
That's right.
Grandmother raised me. Mm-hmm.
Now, my mom was the mom, so if she ate, if you was there in her house, she said, look here, go wash your hands and come on, sit down at this table and get you a bite.
Yeah. Things not like they used to be. Yeah, they're different. They'll rob you. They'd be asked to go to the bathroom. Next thing you know, they done snuck out the window, snuck out some part of the house going to the bathroom, and went in the bedroom, looking at your jewelry box, looking at your dresser drawer, picked up something off your dresser or anything. And it's bad enough to be able to trust them, but they caused it on themselves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want like you go to the department store. And I hate for the people to be following right behind me like some, you know, and I have to catch myself sometimes because I know I'm not going to steal anything. But if I want to look, I want to look. But why should I say that to them? They own the place. They know I'm looking. They're not seeing me try to take anything. So why walk behind me? You know, it makes you want to do something crazy sometimes to the money walking behind you like that. You can turn around and just left them for falling behind you so close. You thinking they trying to take something from you?
Oh, you know what when I see them following me, which I ain't seen that a long time. I ain't seen a store a person following me. I'm looking for such and such. And then they look at me, but I don't ask them for something. I know they're not going to find because it's probably way. I know you following me. So help me find whatever I'm. Oh, that's all the way over in the other aisle. Okay. Well, then come go with me over in the other aisle and look for it.
That a girl.
After they done looked
through. If you want to walk. You want to walk behind me? Come on.
Come on and work. That's what you hear from.
That's
come on and work. Now help me find this blouse I'm looking for. And I'll give you a description of something I know at aisle. And then, you know, you have to follow me over there. And then
that's
you find right. it. What I want. I don't want that. Oops. I'll teach you not to follow nobody.
I don't even go into their stores. I haven't been in one of their stores in almost maybe about 9, 7 or 8 years. I don't even go in that store because I said that when the time comes, I don't have no sympathy for them. So I don't even go into their stores at all.
You got to teach silly people. They silly.
You know, it's bad too, but we have to do what we have to do. You know, we don't want to act crazy like they're acting, falling behind somebody.
Right.
Right.
You don't want to turn around and jackslap them. What you fire me for? What you fire me for?
That's right. That's
you don't want to act like that, but they make you sometimes want to really get them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you forget. And forget accidentally on purpose. You can get them. Well, I enjoyed your sister today. The brothers don't look like they want to participate too much, so it's good that we can hold a conversation here. I have something here about Sister Claire Muhammad. It says in the educational part of the Muslim Journal, even though they're behind delivering these Muslim journals to us, this is the edition for April 9th through the 15th. How about you didn't get any earlier, the latest one than that? That's it? Mm. I'm about to say they're so late sending them. And this one is talking about, especially for children and young adults, who is Sister Clara? Clara Muhammad School students answer the questions.
Mm.
Okay, and this is a part two. And you see three sisters here, Sister Amila Henry and Avani Rose and Hawa Kasim. Students with their drawings or writings like in their hand. It says in 1986, Muhammad Idris interviewed Imam W.D. Muhammad for the Muslim for Justice Committee. This was printed in the October-November newsletter and reported by Sister Shakira Bashir. At the time, Imam Muhammad informed or reminded listeners and readers of the reason for naming Sister Clara Muhammad Schools. Imam Muhammad gave this renaming shortly after assuming leadership in 1975. He shared that Sister Clara was the most consistent in establishing, nurturing, supporting, and helping sustain education within the Nation of Islam. This was true from the very beginning, the early days of the 1930s, to her passing in 1972. A voluntary activity opened this year to the elementary grades of Clara Muhammad School, Milwaukee, resulted in learning and sharing about Sister Clara. In the previous article, four outstanding participants were featured: Fusia, Amina, and Kadra, Abulka, and Shukri Abdi. Additional students, all who enthusiastically participated in the Who is Sister Clara, actively were as follows. Hamza Ahmed, a third grade, displayed much talent with his drawing. Ivana Rose did a drawing and paragraph. Amila Henry, Noor Anamul, and Hawa Kasim worked as a team with a writing by Amila, a drawing by Noor, and a reading from author Jamila Kareem. Supplies, especially made certificates and cash awards for all participants were contributed by several Masjid Sultan Muhammad members. Sister Umarani can be reached. They're telling us where she can be reached at. She's in the paper every week, Sister Umarani Amatula or Amatula. She's in the paper every week. Okay, I got to get back to this page right here. They don't even refer me to a further page. Uh-uh. Oh, well. They didn't even give me the other page. Oh, no, it's all messed up. Sister Umrani can be reached at wholesolutions@gmail.com. That's short. Okay, so that's what that was. That was a short article there with the young sisters of the different art exhibits here. And this is part two of Sister Clara Muhammad. Who is Sister Clara? Hmm. didn't even get the other one. Well, I don't know what's going on with them with the Muslim journals, but if they want to sell them and want us to read them, they got to send them to us when we order them. Do you know what's going on with the Muslim journals, Bob? No? Okay. Don't know anything about it. Can't do anything about it. All right. And I did mention to you about the Secret Prayer of Muhammad and W.D. Muhammad's graduate. Yeah. There's about eight of them, eight or nine, mostly sisters. They were senior graduates from W.D. Muhammad High School here in Atlanta. You know, they always go away with grants and scholarships and all of that. You're smart up there. And Sister Halima's son is the principal now up there, and he's doing really, really good. He's bringing some new things on the horizon that the young people, even those who are alumni of W.D. Muhammad High School, they're coming back to contribute and to work and really their help and to stand by Sister Alima's son, because he's an alumni of Clara Muhammad Schools. So, yeah, I'm helping each other. That's good. Very good. Alban, it's 8:50. Did you want to say something to us and then close out? Or if anyone else has anything to say, I hope I didn't wait too long to say this. If anyone else has anything to say, any comments, new current events, and inshallah, I'll have something different next week when I come on about the children, because I joined the children's club here. They give you good information on current events for the children and what's going on with them. But one thing I saw here in the history part of this Muslim journal here is the Senegal returning through the door of no return. And it's good for our children to learn this history and to know about this history, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this Imam Mansour Sabri and his wife Fatima, she gave me my award when I went for the Mother Khadija, late is it Mother Khadija's award that we have every year over to one of the masjids, and I didn't know I was getting an award. They did send me the papers. I was out of town then. They sent me a paper and stating, giving me the date when the report would come to the masjid and all it exists, all that was going to take place. I mean, it was about seven of us who had got awards for that. And it was one of my Hajj sisters who was secretary over the Atlanta Masjid. She got an award too that same year. And young brother Imam Sabri, his wife, was the one who gave us that presentation in that lecture. And I knew brother, young Sabri's father, Brother Ehab, out of New Jersey. And he used to be on security up there, Newark, New Jersey. And they moved down here to Atlanta. And he passed.
Okay. I wanted to mention one thing before it goes out. Do you know anything about Benjamin not announcing for the school fund, because he stopped announcing it. He used to announce every week for the school funds for Clyde Muhammad School, but now he's not doing it anymore.
Really? Hmm. Now, is that for the 150? Is that for the 150
right.
You're talking about?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't know why he stopped. I don't know.
Okay, well, he called my hubby, and he said 100
mm-hmm.
over 50.
Oh, Lord.
So, that's what Benjamin said. He heard the man Rasu say something like that there. My concern is whether they support Mars K or not, still a Clara Muhammad school, it needs to still be supported.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
If we still do what we need to do, but I mean, you know, other people need to know this, and I try to bring it up every time I talk with somebody, you know, I say, well, you know,
mm-hmm.
If you were spending before, you should continue. That this don't have
mm-hmm.
nothing to do with Mars Kids. This don't have nothing to do with
right.
Mars Kids. So we're
going
to support Mars Kids. So, but this is a whole different family here. You know, this is Clyde
mm-hmm.
Muhammad School. Not school,
mm-hmm.
but school, you know.
That's right.
And they should, I don't know. I thought it was a little...
Hello? I'm far off there, too. I'm going to
agree with you. I agree with you, sister, alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
See about that. Yeah, you should continue to support Sister Clara Muhammad School for these schools.
Absolutely.
How are we going to get them open if you can't support them? How are you going to get them
mm-hmm.
open and keep them open? We're not going to support them and things that they need to even open.
Right.
I can't believe that. Oh, so much.
You know, until he actually called my husband, he said, well, Brother Muhammad, he said, I'm going to have to stop announcing the 100 over 50 because they don't support Mars. Yeah.
Hmm.
So my husband gave a number to a principal who runs the school very lovely, and he can talk with her.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't
mm-hmm.
heard anything from her, but as of today, I didn't hear him say anything about the school. He did all those announcements on all everybody, this, that, and another, and he said something about Halima's niece or somebody was hurt or something like that there.
Had passed. Yes, she had a niece there in Chicago that died, 20-something years old.
Oh, I didn't know
some
that.
Condition.
Okay. Yeah, I heard him saying something like that, but as I said, I wasn't too alert, but I was just hearing
mm-hmm.
pieces. Okay, so I said, well, I need to give her a call. But still. If people were giving their donation, they continue. I think, and I want to say that on the lifeline, but you know, I really don't want his mouth because he already supported Mars King. Please stop it.
Well, say it. Whatever you feel you want to say, you have a right to say it. You know, you have a right to ask questions too because you're asking because you want to know.
She said that they're not supporting Sister Clara Muhammad School, or who did she say they're not supporting?
Sister Clara Muhammad School. No,
Mars Care. Oh, Mars Care is not supporting Sister Clara Muhammad School?
No. Sister Clara, the 100 over 50 is...
I know what you're saying.
Breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, 50 over 100.
They supported 100 over 50 is supporting Sister Clara Muhammad Schools everywhere. And at one time, Benjamin was making the announcement on his announcement days, which is what, Tuesday and Thursday. Now he stopped, mm-hmm. he said, because the 100 over 50 is not supporting Mars Care. Mm-hmm. And so they had to stop.
Wow.
I mean, you know, for those who don't hear the announcement, you know, mm-hmm. still, if you're sending something, continue to send it.
Could you close out, please? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna find out what's really going on, because I didn't hear it. I'm gonna call and say I didn't hear it. Just what? I'm gonna find out.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Akbar, you want to pause, please? Okay, it's time to close out, y'all. She's announced it already, so I don't want to put us off. We'll just. Say it ourselves. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amen. Thank you all for participating tonight and standing by me and helping me out. I appreciate it. As you've noticed, we didn't have any contributions or anything from the brothers, and I just don't feel that either is necessary. You know what I'm saying? But then we are in this together, and when it's brothers' night, which I always try to make a point of it, even though we say it's brothers' night, it doesn't mean that a sister can't contribute. And even though we say it's a sister's night, it doesn't mean that the brothers can't contribute, because we're in this together, and it's all a message of concern. It all includes a message of concern. So thank you all for coming on. I appreciate you. I love you all. Let's stay healthy, and let's work together and learn together and share. Be safe. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Assalamu alaikum.